Pickaxe.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Triforce podcast. This time, not on the road.
No.
Not in a van, not in the tour bus, not in a tank.
Not in the tank or the bus.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Just
one day.
From the dad garage, the spare bedroom, and I don't know whereabouts are you, P-Flax.
Well, aren't you in a spare bedroom then?
Yeah, he's in the mental hospital room again.
I'm in my office.
Ah, right. Yeah. Is it got a bed in it?
The nurse's
it may have
bed,
a bed.
Yeah.
It's a. You could say that it was a spare room in our house that was converted into an office. It has a bed if I grow weary from work. Mm.
And are you the type of person who collects a lot of paraphernalia and puts it up on a shelf and stuff in your spare room in your office?
Let me tell you something. I am. But the problem is, I'm also very lazy and I have the shelving unit here.
Yeah.
And I keep meaning to build it and rearrange the room, but I just never get around to it.
Yeah.
So I have all this shit just in boxes. And
so it's the idea to put a little shelf with knickknacks
on it. One day, yeah. I'm going to have like...
in the background.
And I was going to put a whiteboard on the wall and I was going to write things on it. Something from chat, like each time I'm streaming, like I'll put something on the whiteboard or whatever. So it sort of stays current.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like reminders or notes
just
or
stuff.
Just
big
memes.
Shout outs. Shout out
memes,
to Sephiroth.
Yeah. Exactly, that kind of stuff.
For the big donation and stuff. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's always funny, you see these sort of knick-knackery shelves in the background. Sips is always, you had some in your office, didn't you? And
yeah,
it was just a sort of eclectic mix of crap that you'd either been given or picked up or been sent in the mail.
It is,
I feel like a lot of these shelves in the background are people largely just full of tat and kind of crappy. Like,
there's
not a lot of thought gone into it. You know, it, like, for example, I think with you, it was an old Garrosh poster. Sips, Jimbo, an old Warcraft poster.
Well, I got
it
a whole
really...
bunch of stuff from BlizzCon the first year I went. I was really excited. So I brought an extra suitcase with me that was empty just so I could buy like a bunch of stuff at BlizzCon. And then when I got home, I lazily just sort of like half-assedly put it up onto shelves and stuff.
Yeah.
But like really when I got home, it was like, do I really want all this crap? Not really. Like,
yeah.
It was exciting like at the time, but like now I wish I could just throw it all out. But then I'd feel bad throwing it all out, so... it just sits there and collects
dust. It's difficult,
dust.
Right? That's obviously something that's close to your heart. It's stuff which means a lot to you, and therefore it's okay, I suppose, to have it on the wall. But then again, what else would you have? You know, what would you put up? What kind of pictures would you hang there?
Well,
would you choose some artwork or something?
At the moment, I have a Barbie poster, a poster of the movie Tangled, and a framed five blown up versions of stamps with famous trains on them. These are just old things that were in the spare room, and I haven't even moved those. So
where did this picture of stamps come from?
I don't know. Probably one of Mrs.
How
F's grandmother's.
How much would you sell that for? Because that sounds really interesting to me.
It's like a long portrait framed.
I'm looking for some stuff for the background.
Yeah,
looking
it's got
for a really particular piece. Stamps on a poster?
Are you a big fan of, say, the Cheltenham Flyer? 29 pence stamp?
Yeah, yeah.
Cornish Riviera, 34 pence
The
stamp.
Pencaster Flyer and the Greendale Rocket. Those are some other ones I really like too. Yeah.
So sweet. These don't sound like very old stamps. They're quite... So it's a modern, they're
no,
modern
it's
stamps.
Definitely not modern, dude. These are steam
it's like
trains.
Steam trains.
Yeah, but it's got the 34p. How long has a stamp been that expensive?
How long has a stamp been 17p?
They're like commemorative as well.
Yeah.
They're not current. Stamps aren't
right.
Like.
Let me tell you you know the way that on those stamps they have a tiny portrait of the Queen in the corner. She looks super young in the portrait.
Yeah.
So these are old stamps. Like these are probably from the 70s.
You
I
know they
guess.
Did like over here in Jersey they did a Superman stamp because the Superman movie that came out, the guy who played Superman is actually from Jersey, so it was like a
really?
Big deal. Yeah, yeah. He came over here with Russell Crowe.
Oh,
and
let me remember
What's
his name. Is it Henry Cavaziel? Is that his name?
Something like that. Yeah. anyway, he's from here. So they came over for like the premiere here.
Henry Cavill. There he is.
And at the zoo, they got a big like life-size statue of him too.
He's from Jersey.
He's a pretty big deal over
That's
here.
That's right, they have. That here. Was so
yeah.
weird.
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah, it's just like a couple of different places. There's just like,
there's
a gigantic
7 foot tall yeah. statue of
and
Henry
like,
Cavill.
And did the recent Superman movie actually really do that well or anything? It's not like it's going to go down in history as like the
best
Superman movie ever. You know, like I think a lot of people still look back to the old movies and say, yeah, that was Superman.
They really, honestly, DC has done a terrible job with movies. They've done so many movies that they've tried to do from the DC universe that have just been a complete disaster.
Well, I guess they must feel like pretty self-conscious that, like, because Marvel seems to be doing quite well with theirs. Like, yeah. they're doing like lots of good movies. They got TV series and stuff as well. And I guess they want to like keep up, but they can't because maybe they just suck a bit. I don't know.
So he's from Jersey, is he? Sorry.
It's all right.
Henry Cavill.
Yeah, he is, I think.
I didn't even realize that.
So they put,
I guess it makes sense why there's a statue in there.
Yeah. So there for some time, like the local stamps had Superman on it.
So if you live in Jersey, do you have to use these on your stamps?
Not anymore. They're long gone now. I think they were replaced with like, I don't know, some sort of like ancient flute or something, you know, like
some other
know,
famous
some
person
other
from
garbage
Jersey.
That you know, decided to put on a stamp.
Who else
you know,
is
they
famous
do.
From Jersey?
Bergerac,
yeah, he's pretty famous. Well, he was.
He got his own
stamps. He was a pretty big deal. Yeah, he used to have some stamps. Yeah, and they they actually had his like
sure,
car. They had Bergerac's car.
I mean, do you think there's ever going to be a time when you might get some stamps?
There's another guy over here. He's a YouTuber who has been in the paper and everything, and everybody's like, he's like 20 years old. Does like FIFA coin pack stuff or whatever.
Okay.
He's got like, I think he's got like 2 million subs or something now. Like he's done really good.
Oh, crap.
But they talk about him like every once in a while he's in the paper and stuff. So I think he's like the big YouTube guy over here.
He's going to have the stamps.
Yeah. And he's perfect for it though, right? He's like 20 years old. You know, he's a young guy. He's full of like, you know, piss and vinegar or whatever. You know, I'm just like an old dad. Nobody cares. You know, nobody wants to see me on a stamp. Like,
you're on the Wikipedia list of people from Jersey.
Am I?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you're there. There's a list of people from Jersey on Wikipedia, and then you're under other notables.
Oh,
I might add.
Wow.
And you may be the person at the very bottom of the page, but you're on there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
AKA
amazing.
Yogscast Sips. Gaming Holy. Commentator and video producer.
The problem is you're right at the bottom. You're right at the bottom, which
he's
is a bit
notable
of an
person.
Issue.
Hey, I'll take that. If I'm on a list, at least I'm on a list. I don't care where I am on it.
It's
Jeez.
Nice to be on a list.
Yeah. You almost sound a bit jealous, Lewis. Like, any lists with you on it anywhere? Or notable people from wherever it is you're from, Reading?
So I was thinking that would be really nice for you to have on your wall of your dad garage would be a blown up picture of stamps with you on them.
Whoa, now you're talking.
That would be a badass thing to have.
That would be a pretty badass thing to have, yeah. I don't know, like I'm too lazy to decorate, really. Like when it comes down to it, I don't mind getting stuff or having stuff given to me or whatever and bringing it back. That's not a problem for me. It's when it's here, fuck, I don't want to put it up or anything. Like I got other shit to do. Like
maybe you just need to find things that please you though, because you know, Terps, we met Matt Dixon, the Hearthstone card artist guy, and Terps is a big fan. He bought a autographed piece of his art, you know, of one of his I can't remember which picture it was, you know,
yeah,
but got, I think it was like, hello, like the Annoyatron.
Oh, yeah, Annoyatron, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's a cool thing, I think, to have a signed picture of a Hearthstone card that you like on the wall or something like that. I think that's something, or something that means something.
Yeah.
You know, like now we've talked about that piece of art with the stamps on. That's iconic.
You know? Yeah, I think it's weird. Some people really value that kind of stuff. I do not. Like, if I got something signed by someone, I wouldn't really care. You know, it's just more junk. You know, like I don't like having stuff everywhere. Even though I do have stuff everywhere, it just drives me nuts. And like I don't find that stuff important or valuable or sentimental. You know, like there's a lot of things that like I guess people collect that they like it to have or whatever, but I don't know if I'm unique in that sense, but I'm like the kind of guy who goes on vacation, doesn't take pictures and stuff. Like, I just find it annoying.
I used to, but I just can't be bothered anymore. Like, yeah. I used to come back from vacation with like 200 pictures, and now I'll take like 7, and I just can't be bothered. I used to enjoy it, but I'm just sort of like, eh.
I find it just ruins the flow, you know? You're just there, you're enjoying a moment, you know, you see something or whatever, and it's like, quick, get the camera. I was like, oh, what? I have to rummage through a bag, and I might miss something or whatever, and I fucking get the camera out, and like, pictures, you never go back and look at them, or at least I don't. Like, I don't just like, oh, it's Sunday, it's raining outside, I'm just going to put on a bit of Enya and go back through my old picture books, you know, like, fuck
you say that,
Sid,
but I know that you've got a picture book for your kids.
That's
and
different.
You take pictures
That's a little
of them all
bit
the time.
Different. Yeah, I mean, we don't have big picture books, but we have like a couple of sort of framed
photo albums.
No, they're more like you know those frames that you put on the wall, and they're like lots of little picture frames in one big frame. Lots of stuff like that, you know, so you can see like, and you might put like a year's worth of select pictures just to see how much they grew like in their first year and stuff
also,
like that.
Also, only really the first kid. Like, I've hardly taken any pictures of the second kid.
We have a lot of pictures of our daughter, but we haven't.
I don't even know what my second kid looks
we're
like.
We're too fucking, you know, we're too snowed under with like parent stuff that we can't send them away to be printed or anything. So it's like, you know, with the first one, it was much easier. We had a little bit more time, but.
Well,
fuck
this is
me.
An issue, a modern issue, isn't it? That we don't take pictures physically anymore. We have to take them on a phone, and then the effort of going and printing those out is kind of a rare.
Well, the phone camera was amazing because it made it easier for people to take pictures of themselves, which is all they wanted to fucking do in the first place. Realistically,
that's right.
You know, like that's the nature of people, right? So now. You go on the internet and you see all these people, you know, taking these like perfectly angled pictures of themselves so that you can't see like their big fucking neck beards or like their big fucking love handles and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's really has been perfect for like a lot of people to just start taking pictures of themselves. But like, I'm not even interested in that. I don't want to take a picture of myself. I don't want to take a picture of anyone else. I certainly don't want to take a fucking picture of a building or the sunset or any shit like that. Like, I'm fucking done with cameras and phone cameras. Like, I'm done. If there was a room 101, you know, if I was on that show where I could put something in there, it would be cameras and phone cameras. Holy crap.
I mean, this is one thing I relatively noticed when my dad came around last Christmas. And so then he was on the live stream. You know, when he was on camera, I realized how old he looked, but because he was my dad, I didn't notice like that. He
did you take him
really,
aside after and have
he
a
really
quiet
does look very old.
Him?
Did you take him? And, yeah, take him aside. Look, if you're going to come on the show, look, you need to put some makeup on. dye your hair. Look a little less old.
Yeah, gosh, Jesus.
So do you think I think you look past people sometimes that you know, you never examine them physically necessarily. You know,
yeah.
Do you want to see a photograph
sense,
of me?
You don't look.
Critically,
no.
Do you want to see?
do you want to see a picture of me? I'll put it in the Discord. Right?
Okay.
Here you all go. Right.
Why are you posting a picture of yourself in Discord?
Look at that.
For God's sakes.
Oh, that's a good one. Holy shit!
Look at this one. Look at this one.
Oh, damn.
So why are you now posting pictures of
oh,
yourself?
These are, oh,
would you like to describe these pictures,
Sips,
to an audience?
Oh, so the first one looks like Piri and Flax has gone back to like a high school reunion. and at the high school reunion, they're like, hey, we're going to do something fun, guys. We're going to do our school pictures again. But now that you're older, it'll be funny. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
And then the second one looks like he's been interviewed for like Forbes magazine or something, like, you know, because he's just started a business.
So these are two very high quality pictures B-Flex sent us on a white background. Yeah. And he's wearing a very thick, very lustrous black shirt.
Yeah.
And he's obviously got his black stubble. He's got the black glasses. He's got a little bit of black on sort of around the edge of his head, like a moon rising over the horizon.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got a little bit of a like shiny a shine on the baldness, as if he's polished up nice.
Yeah.
The glasses are quite clean and shiny.
Yeah, yeah.
And you look a little bit like a mouse in the first one. A little bit like a kind of cheeky young mouse. Little mouse fella.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a good picture of you. Like, it's a very nice picture, but it's very funny as well.
Do you
like,
know what? Yeah. These were taken, because for TI, right, for the Big Dota event, for anyone who doesn't know, it's like the international. They always say to us, we need pictures of you guys for like the promotional stuff and the talent announcements and stuff. So everyone was sending them these shitty pictures, and I would just go at the last second, but oh fuck, I forgot to send my picture. So I'd take a selfie on my phone and send it to them, and that would be like the official promotional picture of me looking kind of goofy on my phone. So they were like, right, this year we're going to get everyone, we're going to take all these high quality sort of shots of all the talent, and then we can use those in future. So these are the pictures that they got, and they just sent us one saying, oh, if you want to use these for anything, feel free. But I just think it's funny because it's such a high quality picture, but it's like, it's still me looking like a goofy son of a bitch in this picture, big bold dome. It's just, I don't know, I just thought it was funny.
It's a beautiful picture, the first one. It makes you look a lot younger, I think, than you are.
Dude,
I think because
I got ID'd in Sainsbury's last week.
But, wow.
Really?
How?
I walked up, I had some ciders, I was buying the ciders.
How many 17-year-old bald men are there out there?
But I said to her, like, I didn't have any idea. I just cycled down there in my shorts and I just had the money in my pocket. And I put the cider on the thing.
You bought a Mars bar and a chocolate and a fucking coffee and a Beano.
Yeah, just a Beano. What? So I was buying some cider and she said, do you have any ID? And I said, I'm 40. And she said, you don't look over 25. I said, yeah, I do. Like I said, you know, because she was really young.
Right.
And I said, maybe you just don't know
maybe
what
it's her
people
first
who
day
are
on
40
the job.
Look. No, you know, she was quite new, but the other guy at the checkout was just laughing. Like, he's just laughing his head off. And I like turned to him and said, I said, like, dude, I'm 40. And he was like, just serve him. Like, that was I was like, come on.
Holy shit.
That is,
you like
that
got
is
off
nice.
Your mobility scooter and everything. You were like,
yeah. Shook my cane
one,
at him.
One Beano, please. And here's four ciders as well that I also want to drink while I read this thing.
I need some caps for my cap gun.
Do you have any pop rocks in the back anywhere?
It's like, fuck. This is bizarre. Yeah. So the second pitch you sent is of you doing a sort of a strange leaning forward and squinting pose.
I was just goofing around.
Did they send you to a local sort of high quality pictures parlor or something?
No. They have lots of really good photographers that work at Valve. And so they just had set up lighting and everything like that and makeup and all the rest of it. And we had the pictures. But they said, like, I just went up there and smiled. And I was like, okay, done. And they're like, no. Like, we want you to move around and pose and take a couple of pictures and we'll pick the good ones. So I was like, all right. So I just leant forward and did this stupid pose. And they were like, oh, that's great. I was like, no, I was just messing around. They're like, no, that's great. I was like, oh,
do
okay.
That. Yeah. Yeah. That again.
There's like three or four of me doing really this stupid weird. Squinty pose. I was like, oh man.
So is there a whole gallery of these? Is there like 50?
No, there's like three. They chucked a bunch of them in the bin. Obviously, I was like blinking or making a stupid face or something. Stupider face, yeah. I should say. But yeah, these are the ones that made the cut.
I don't know what like the deal is with that. Like, I don't know. I've because we did one recently. Last time I was in Bristol and Harry took our, you know, pictures.
Harry,
for
beautiful,
thumbnails.
Supple Harry. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And I guess it's a way of doing it, but when he got me into the room to take the pictures, you know, they had like all the cameras set up and everything. Like this wasn't like super professional, but you know what I mean? Like it's just pictures for thumbnails sort of thing. And so Harry was like, all right, so, you know, we'll just take a normal picture. And then he just started going like really fast. He's like, all right, now you're feeling really sad. Okay. Your dog's died. Your wife left you. The car's broken down and stuff. You're really sad. Okay. But now you're happy because you it's like went through this whole like thing, this whole range. And it was like,
he has this list of
emotions.
I
guess like that's kind of a good way of doing it. I don't know like how he came across in any of the pictures sort of thing, but
I see your thumbnails and I like them, they're good.
Oh, thanks man. I mean, means a lot, you know. I like having my face plastered on thumbnails like a clown and stuff. That's definitely one of the things
great.
I aspired to, you know, when I set off on this great journey of mine through life. And one
journey.
Day
my
that's gonna be my
journey.
Clown ass face on a thumbnail, and there here I am.
You look great. Arrived.
Harry's great. Yeah, I saw that. So then he sort of just keeps yelling, like, you know, all of these like emotions. He's got this long list. Yeah. You go down. It took about, like, I don't know, it only took about 5-10 minutes.
But
didn't
what if you're doing that and you hit like a really raw nerve, you know? Like, you know, he's in a good flow and you're feeling it, you know, you're getting the snaps, you're doing the poses, you're taking the pictures, and he's like, your car's broken down, you know, it's raining out, and you've got AIDS, and you're like, what?
It just like triggers you so hard and you start for real like having a fucking breakdown and like,
and then he's like, get your shit together, and then you're feeling sexy, and then you take your clothes off.
Oh,
and then
no.
You're bending over and then a man's coming up behind you. Then he gets his dick out.
I'm getting excited here.
And he's lubing himself up. I don't know why I'm telling you all this.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's me. And now I'm fucking you. Oh my God.
No!
It's like,
not again!
You get too into character.
Yeah.
And you end up getting raped by Harry.
I friggin' love Harry.
Yeah, but jeez. I mean, I love him, but not that much. Christ.
I do. I friggin' love him. Yeah, you, anything
he's
goes.
He's a very attractive man.
Anything goes.
Yeah.
He's a good guy, isn't he? He's a really good guy. Fucking, oh, I remember God. Way back when Harry, the first time I ever spoke to Harry was when I first started my YouTube channel. I did not know what I was doing whatsoever, okay? And I used to check every once in a while. You used to be able to send people messages like through your YouTube channel.
Okay.
So there's like an inbox of like, it was almost like comments, but it was like people could just send you stuff privately, you know, like almost like a direct message sort of thing. I don't even know if it still exists now. I went through it and Harry had sent me one. He must have been like 15 years old or something at the time. And he was like, oh, hey, you know, I'm doing arts and graphics at school or whatever, and I can make you a channel banner. And I was like, okay, fine, go for it. You know, let's see. And then he made it for me and it was really, really good. It was like the first one I ever used. You know, he had all these references to like games that I'd been playing and stuff. And so I used it. And then I just hear from him every once in a while. And he'd be like, oh, hey, I've got some new ideas for like a new banner and stuff. So like he was just doing like my channel art for me, like very early on. And now like we fucking play games with him all the time. And he works for the Ogdcast. So.
Yeah, he's great.
Love to bits. Yeah, we've got some really good guys.
And then
everyone else is great
then
too.
We got married.
But Harry especially.
He's like, Harry's right up there.
I hate to play favorites, but he's my favorite.
Yeah.
No, everyone's my favorite.
Weak.
I mean, you have to say that you're the boss, but like, you know, people who aren't the boss can totally have favorites, right?
Oh, yeah.
And like isolate themselves.
Lewis is my favorite.
Yeah, mine too.
All right, P-Flex.
Hooray for Lewis.
You don't have to relax, guys. So I want to head back to the other thing that was in your room, P-Flex, because you said, I have a bed in my room in case I get weary.
Yeah.
And that's a weird thing to say. Does that happen to you? Do you feel like tiredness just coming over you?
I nap every day, dude. Every day.
How do you control that? Because if I go to lie down in a bed,
you close your eyes.
I'm gonna be gone for hours and hours. And then if you
set an alarm.
I can't wake up though. That's the problem. I like feel terribly groggy.
I'm too groggy and grumpy.
Yeah.
If I sleep during the day.
Well,
I feel really pissed off when I wake up after a nap during the day.
No, yeah, no, it's refreshing. Here's the thing. How long are you napping for?
Oh, like
when you nap.
Oh, I don't know.
It's dangerous.
Sometimes.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
Well, I don't though. I do the typical dad thing where I'll fall asleep like when I'm meant to be, you know, playing with the kids or watching
right.
the kids or something, because I just get tired all of a sudden. I'm just like, ugh.
What you do is you set an alarm for yourself. So I have my phone and I'll set an alarm for 50 minutes to give myself 5 minutes to get to sleep and 45 minutes to sleep. And if you sleep for more than 45 minutes, you will wake up groggy, which is why 45 minutes, they've done research into it. That is the optimal nap amount of time.
Okay.
So right. I go for 45 minutes. I wake up, I feel a little bit dazed for maybe 30 seconds to a minute, and then I'm good to go for the rest of the day.
Okay.
Otherwise, by 10 o'clock, my eyes are feeling heavy. And I want to be up to a 1 or 2 power gaming, Lewis. I can't be wasting my evenings. My
that's
evenings
crazy.
Is crucial
I mean,
time.
Yeah. I mean, that's something I like because my kids are younger than yours. I don't power game till 1 or 2.
Oh, you've got
morning,
a power game, baby.
You know,
it's all about it.
Because I'm too wrecked like the next day if I do that.
Yeah,
so like my cutoff is like 11 o'clock. And I go to bed.
That's nice.
Because like I'm pretty tired by then.
I'm good at waking up early in the morning. Like Mrs. F will wake me up sometimes at like 7 or 7:30 or whatever. And last night I went to bed at about 2:10. I can power through until about 1, and then I'll have to have a little nap, and then I'll be good for the rest of the day. So
I mean, if you're getting 5 hours of sleep, like a little nap in the day makes sense. I mean,
that's
because that's not
like,
a heck of a lot.
I mean, first of all, a lot of the world, especially in hot countries, do have a siesta in the afternoon where they take an hour out in the hottest part of the day. And it's, you know, climate change, you know, it's going to move
we'll
upwards.
Oh, yeah, there is that. Yeah, we could be finding ourselves in countries where a siesta is not commonplace, all of a sudden becoming a national staple.
So you
staple,
might be a trendsetter, you know? P-Flex. Second
yeah,
thing...
Yeah, you could be bucking the trend.
That's that, honestly, P-Flex, bucking the trend. That's that could be the name of your autobiography right there.
It could be the name of this podcast as well.
Straight bucking.
Bucking.
So this, second thing is that my dad...
Bucking all night long.
Talking about my dad again, you know, he was over yeah, last weekend yeah. and we hung out and walked around. And
can you
stuff.
Describe how old he looks again?
It's hard to describe, but you know, you notice it sort of in these certain things. Anyway, he does occasionally just doze off mid-sentence. I mean, he's very
right.
He kind of just
I mean,
you know, we're sat
we're
there
not that bad.
Having a chat yeah. after dinner, and we look over and he's like kind of sort of just well, like sat there asleep, you know, just perfectly. And you talk to him and he's just like, oh yeah, I was listening, honest. And then he smiles and he knows that he's just like fall asleep.
He's got those sleepy eyes. It's like that knowing smile, like, hey, don't talk
I mean,
to
I
me
do put
again.
A lot of people to sleep
to
when
bed.
I talk to them and stuff. It is a thing that I have found in my life that I can do. It's one of my superpowers.
Talk people to sleep.
Yeah, definitely. Just so boring. But he does it all the time, so... You know, we're watching some TV or some film or something that he really likes as well, and he's really enjoying it and laughing away. And you know, he'll have a laugh, lean back, and just fall asleep. And then it's like, okay,
I know.
It's kind of is that something
people do, right? Old people do, and I think that's you know when we think you know when we think about dying and getting old and stuff like that. I've always maintained that when you get past a certain point in your life, like when you pass like 80 years old, for instance, and you're at the point in your life where you're just falling asleep. No matter what, you know, like we always think about, you know, getting old and dying from a younger person's perspective, right? Where we're into things, we don't fall asleep, you know, at the drop of a hat, you know, we can get stuck in, we can power game still, we can do, you know, we can do all this stuff.
Yeah.
That is just like, man, I don't want to die. You know, I never want to die. I want to power game forever sort of thing. But when you're like 80 years old, you sit down at your computer and you start power gaming and 5 minutes into your power gaming session, you're like falling asleep and you don't give a fuck.
Oh, man.
I mean, you know what I mean? I think
that's
like,
a nightmare.
I think you accept at that point that like, you know what? Maybe I'm old and maybe I'm just ready to go.
Oh, my
maybe
God.
Like, you know, well, if I'm just going to be fucking falling asleep through everything and I... You know, I can't even like enjoy stuff anymore because I'm just falling asleep and I'm fucking old and stuff.
I think
that you've got to be seriously old before you just start nodding off.
Yeah.
Like all the time. What? Like, I mean, my dad, right? My dad's in his 70s. Like my memory of him when I was a kid was, you know, he was like this, he's like 6 foot. He's like a, you know, big guy. And I was a little kid and I was like, wow, my dad's awesome and everything. And then my parents got divorced, so I didn't see him. Like, saw him like, maybe once a year, and now I see him maybe once every couple of years. And recently, when we've gone to visit him, I've been like, damn, my dad is getting old. Like, he's noticeably getting old. Like, my mum's been old forever, but my dad, just he seems to be getting older. And I remember one time I went over there, and he needed me to help him lift something.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I can't lift this. And I was like, okay, so like, I thought,
it was
shit, this is going to be heavy.
Bag of
yeah,
pasta.
And it was like, not yeah. heavy. And I'm like, oh, man. He's old. I feel shit. Old, but that is like yeah. old. But he's still, you know, it's not like he just falls asleep in the middle of a sentence or anything. He's not, he remembers whether he's had breakfast that day.
Yeah.
You know, he's not, it's not that bad. It's a, you're only talking late 90s when you really start coming apart at the scene.
It's a tough thing. Yeah. It's that's when your brain starts going at that time. I think it's the parallel, I think, is that past a certain age, you kind of start become. It's like that film where that guy aged in reverse. What's that film?
Benjamin Button.
Benjamin Button.
Oh yeah, Benjamin Button. Whoops.
One of the Button or Grape movies. Yeah.
What was Gilbert Grape? Does anyone remember?
What's eating Gilbert
stick
Grape?
Out? Yeah.
It had Johnny Depp in it, I think.
Was Johnny Depp Benjamin Button as well?
Was he?
No, that was Brad
Pitt.
Did
he age somehow in reverse? Anyway, I think that past a certain point, you sort of become a toddler again, okay? You have to be looked after. You can't be let out. You know, you can't kind
similarities
of...
Similarities
to
a toddler, but you don't have the endearing
you end up you go to like
a
nursery.
Toddler.
You know,
that's why people put you in a home because they're like, fuck, this isn't like having a toddler at all. It's depressing
you put,
as shit.
You put,
like,
put your toddler with other toddlers.
Adult is shitting everywhere.
Everyone puts their toddlers in the same place. And just they have to just, you know, they entertain themselves. I don't think they're going to be hardcore gaming, but it'll be the same sort of games that toddlers play. You know, simple stuff. You know, I don't think we're going to be
like
in an
bridge.
Old folks home playing Scrabble and Monopoly or whatever. You know, we'll be playing.
You'd be surprised.
Magic the Gathering or.
We'd be playing StarCraft. The original. Original StarCraft.
Back to basics. I don't know.
Back to basics, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's an interesting question. So, touching on the Pyrian Flax autobiography, you did actually prepare something for this week's podcast, didn't you?
Yeah. I almost forgot about Bodega.
Is it time?
Oh, man, I think it's time.
Okay, prepare yourself, John.
All right, I'm ready.
So
let me get comfortable.
Right. Last week we talked about...
Let me recline a little bit. Pyrian I want to close my eyes and listen to this.
Idea for a great story. Sips is just,
this
yeah,
is just getting,
I'm laying
he's going to doze off halfway into
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
Okay, hit me.
So P-Flax is prepared. I don't know what prepared
you'll,
some
you'll
fanfic.
You'll see.
Okay.
Bodega, part uno.
Oh. I'm hoping that this is going to be like Gentleman Broncos.
You'll see. All right. Okay.
Can we just interrupt any time?
Of course,
okay?
No, feel free.
Okay.
As bars go, the Shit Rivet Tavern took sleazy and redefined the word. A trio of spurloopian strippers outnumbered the lone customer, but ground the pole on stage with real menace regardless.
Are you masturbating?
No.
Okay, good.
I was clapping.
I'm not quite there yet. I'm getting close, though.
Behind the chrome-top bar, hunched and moodier than a mork beast, Jargel Floop gazed dully at the tiny vid screen embedded in his left forearm. An empty glass slid down the bar, and with honed reflexes unique to a veteran bartender, Floop caught it, filled it, and returned it with gusto without glancing up. It was the fifth pint of ale the human in the corner had swigged, but it was five times the business Floop had the previous night, so he wasn't complaining. After a spell, the melancholy was broken when the front doors creaked open. Floop saw four figures in desert cloaks, dust masks fastened across their faces, scanning the room from the doorway. Their eyes settled on the human ale swigger at the far end of the bar. They broke formation. Two sat at tables either side of the door. One sat a ways behind the ale swigger, and the fourth approached the bar with all the cockiness of a Krell sluicer. Barkeep, one beverage.
I love the random alien names.
It's set in space, right?
It's just like George Lucas 2.0.
Barkeep. One beverage, lady's choice, said the burly interloper, nodding towards one of the spurloopians who was taking a break from swinging her big old titties.
Oh, shit! Out of nowhere!
The spurloopian
titties! Oh, my God! Fuck me.
Give him two fingers of fuck monster, Floop, she slurred.
I'm not ready. I was not prepared.
Floop grinned and poured the black liquor into the traditional phallic drinking vessel and gently pushed it towards the man. Leaning in close, the stranger peeled back his face mask, revealing row after row of razor-sharp off-world combat teeth.
Oh, yes.
He had no way of knowing Floop was odontophobic, so it really was just one of those weird coincidences typical of a space saloon. Put the chompers away, mister. Can't you see my friend here is odontophobic? Said the ale swigger from the corner. Floop looked stunned. How could this guy have known about his odontophobia? Unless... Bodega, said the tooth guy. Said the tooth guy, grimacing. It is you, Bodega, said Floop, turning. He'd not recognized his old compadre and cursed himself for it. Bodega always had money, and he could have charged 5 skrells for the ales instead of 3. Then it dawned on Floop, if Bodega was here and these 4 guys were here, it could only mean one thing. There was about to be one flarve of a good fight.
Oh, man.
You're coming with us, Bodega, like it or not, said Chompers, smiling to show off his fancy gnashes. Floop blinked hard. When he opened his eyes less than a second later, the 4 interlopers lay dead, and Bodega sat finishing the last of his ale. His famous lasgun lay smoking atop the chrome bar. Great moons of Shaboth, you ain't lost your touch, boy, exclaimed Floop. And you're still slower than a glorb worm with the ales, said Bodega, grinning. He played the fight back in his mind. He'd seen the 4 fellows follow him, of course, and had calibrated his lasgun to instantly pierce their Shrovian armor. Just as Chompers had turned to grin at Bodega, he'd taken a shot, refracting the lasgun beam off those shiny dentures to perfectly strike all three Goombas right in the heart, killing them instantly. Then, to finish off the leader, he'd simply angled the lasgun beam up off the third incisor in row 5, lower, and turned the leader's brain into Vomanian swamp noodle soup.
Man.
Bodega, said Floop, grinning. Yep, said Bodega, also grinning, but laconically. Bodega, said Floop, still grinning and nodding. Uh-huh, said Bodega. Bodega, said Floop, still grinning. Okay, this was getting weird, so Bodega paid and left. The end.
Oh, magnificent.
Oh, my Lord.
Magnificent, P-Flex. That was...
Oh, that was amazing.
Oh, my God.
That was good.
Thank you so much.
Honestly, I could listen to that for hours. Although
I
got to
readjust myself.
The amount of aliens that you created, that universe, is so fleshed out already.
Yeah, you know,
man,
it. You can feel it.
You know, Chris Metzen left Blizzard, Flax, and there's an opening for his job.
Get in there.
I feel like you could get in there, man. You could be like,
the
you
next
know, their
Chris
next
Metzen,
big thing.
But
like,
with bad fanfic sci-fi about Bodega.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Holy shit.
So
man,
good.
That was really good.
Oh.
God, when you told me that you'd written a short story about Bodega, I was really excited. And I thought, I wasn't sure what to expect, but wow.
There you go.
Really
delivered.
Just, like, you slammed
Bodega
it
style.
Yeah.
Oh, the Spoopian strippers.
Spaloopian.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
Well, we know about the Spaloopian strippers are sassy and they have big old titties.
Mm. Oh, man. Yeah, that really
proper
caught me.
Rounded characters.
Like, you can tell. Right, yeah. Like, did you do any sketches to, like, sort of flesh them out?
No, but
a bit?
I look forward to being tweeted pictures of Spaloopian strippers and Bodega.
And Bodega as well. What do you think Bodega looks like?
Well, we'll have to figure out what Bodega looks like. Grizzled.
Yeah, bald.
No, Bodega's a haired man.
He looks like a dad in his 40s.
Does he look like a space dad?
No, not at all. He just looks like he's from like 1950s America.
Jumper dad.
Sort of just...
White picket fence dad.
Yeah, white picket fence dad. Yeah, with the plaid shirt and stuff.
Wow. 2.4 your vision children. Of Bodega is... I like it. I kind of want to leave the description of Bodega open so people can...
Yeah, fill it in
perhaps
themselves.
Perhaps fill in the blanks. Bodega is many things to many people, but he is...
They can represent themselves. They can see themselves in Bodega.
Yeah. Maybe Bodega should actually just have a mirror for a face so that he looks like anybody who's he's presented with. So, like, if you were staring into Bodega's eyes, actually you'd be staring into your own eyes.
I don't think we can top that. Oh, my God. So, have you done anything else this week? What have you guys been up to? Have you been anywhere? Have you done anything?
Man, you know what I've been doing all week? I've just been playing WoW. Like, lots and lots of WoW.
We said we weren't going to talk about it.
We said we weren't going to talk about it, but that's all I've been doing. I meant to play some more Fallout. I haven't, because I've been playing WoW. I almost got out of bed, but then I played WoW.
Yeah, I've been playing WoW.
Yeah.
What have you been doing, P-Flex?
My youngest daughter started school today.
Nice.
So
it's her first day.
So we've been preparing for that.
Is it that classic GIF? Or image of before and after.
Do you mean GIF?
Where, yeah.
Man,
sorry.
You said GIF. Does that mean we're on the same team
God
now?
God damn it. I've switched team. Where the kid looks really excited to go off to school and then just really exhausted and dead when they come home.
Yeah,
just overwhelmed
it's great.
By.
That is the beauty
tires
of school.
Right out.
Fuck, it's great. So tired.
Is it just like complete overwhelmed with new information? It's like overload, sensory overload.
And they have to deal with people who don't want to do anything for them.
Right.
Right. So they've got all these kids around them. And kids at school, some of them are friends, but generally speaking, they sort of put up with each other. And they're kind of sweet for a few years. And then eventually they sort of don't like each other very much, I think. Because you're forced into a classroom with these people for hours and hours at a time.
Yeah.
Some of them are going to be dicks. You're just not going to like them. They're going to say mean stuff because kids are shits. And so early on, they're sort of like, yeah, I've got all these new friends. And then they gradually like, I don't like that guy. He stole my Lego. And that person threw water on me one time. And that person spilled paint on my drawings. So fuck all those people over there.
Yeah.
And they sort of develop these little cliques and they fall out with each other and stuff. So... And now she's in the happy stage of school where it's all fun and sweet, but eventually she'll be in the hateful, I wish I was dead stage of school. Let's let her enjoy it while she can.
We've all been there, right?
I fucking hated school.
I mean, anytime I felt like that, I would simply leave and go play Mario Kart
on
my Super Nintendo with my friends.
Fuck it, I'm out of here. Like, we actually built a little secret room behind the main stage in the main sort of assembly hall of the school. Because nice. They'd put plays and stuff on, and there's like an area behind it for lighting and stuff like that. And like there's a storage room. So we had a couple of guys that were the audiovisual. They had a little, this was while we were at school, we were like 15, 16. They had an audiovisual company that they actually ran, and they did AV stuff for like talent contests and things in the area, all local stuff. They've gone on now. It's a bigger business. But at the time, that's what they did. And they knew about this place. Nobody else knew about it, but you needed it when you were setting up AV equipment and doing lighting for stage and stuff at school. So we found this area and we set it up. We played poker in there. We'd sit around chatting and you know, talking shit and everything like that. It was like our little refuge from school. And if we skipped lessons, we'd go hide in there. And one day, one of the teachers came in, Mr. BJ Hawkins.
Nice.
And BJ Sanders, sorry. He came in and we were sort of all chatting away and laughing. All of a sudden, he was a big guy. Like, he was ex-army, he was a big guy. And he poked his head in and we were all like, oh my God, we are fucked. Like, BJ has found us. We're in massive trouble. And he just went, oh, you cheeky buggers. And he said, you're not smoking, nice. Here, are you, boys? And we went, no, sir. And he went, all right, carry on. And that was that. And we were allowed to keep our little
that's nice.
Our little clubhouse. Yeah, it was fucking awesome. It was a happy memory.
I mean, we actually had a smoking section at school, and that's where we hung out all the time.
Wow.
Yeah, we had picnic tables back there and everything. It was like a designated area for smoking.
We didn't get that till college.
Yeah, no, we had that in high school. Like, from the age of 14, we had that available. Yeah.
Jesus.
So it was pretty nice.
Did a lot of kids smoke in your school? Was that a thing?
Yeah, surprisingly, yeah. It was really busy out there. It was like lots of people out there smoking.
The world has changed.
Yeah, it was, I guess it was just the time or whatever, but yeah, it was fairly popular to smoke back then, I guess. It's like less so now, but I remember like we used to be able to smoke restaurants back then. We used to be able to smoke in the mall. We used to be able to just walk around
there
the mall.
There used to be a smoking section in McDonald's when I was a kid. Like those little ashtrays. Yeah. Remember they'd have the McDonald's M on them? It was like, it's in the cinema. If you sat at the back, you could smoke. There was a smoking carriage on trains. You could smoke in the back half of an airplane.
Oh, see, I never had that. I've never been on an airplane where there's smoking.
Yeah.
Allowed.
I remember it.
I don't know, maybe like...
Was, wow. So how did you two both... Because you... I mean, I guess you did smoke, but then you quit Sips, and you smoked and then quit P-Flex, and then you... Because Sips has been talking about getting a vape again lately.
Oh, man.
And getting back onto that crack.
It's great.
So how did
I was saying I want to get a vape, but actually, I think I just want to do drugs.
What was it? what was the first thing that... What was it that got you into smoking? Was it the classic peer pressure? Was it that it was cool?
It was...
Was it that all your friends were doing it? What was it?
We started smoking basically when we started drinking when we were small. So it was... We had the means...
We were five.
We had people...
drinking.
That were able heavily. To get... like booze and cigarettes for us. So they were going to go get us booze. So we're like, oh, get us some cigarettes too. We were just like, whatever. We might as well just like get some cigarettes while we're at it. So this was in the summer. We were like, wow, we must have been like 13, 14 years old. These guys got us like a big case of beer, like 24 beers and some like liquor and stuff as well, and some cigarettes. So we went out into the woods,
did some portage,
and found a place to sit down and camp out. And the first time you smoke cigarettes, you get like those head rushes as well.
Super bad. So really bad.
We sat around fucking spinning to that as well. But that was really just the start of all of high school, basically.
Yeah.
Where all we did,
I can imagine though,
drink and smoke.
That you like Sips always, like P-Flex always looks super young. I think you Sips have always looked super old. So I can imagine you cycling down to the local shop,
thanks,
buying a copy of the Beano and a load of cans of cider, and just not being ID'd, not being like, no one even like, hey, you're a bit old for the Beano, aren't you? It's like, I'm 13. I think is very old for the Beano.
Yeah, that is.
We did all the pretty typical like growing up stuff, you know, like we'd dare like one of our friends to go in and buy Playboy. I always buy Mr. Ed Weekly, which is horse porn.
Jesus Christ.
Specialist shit.
Yeah, so it sounds like a pretty typical just teenagers rebelling, listening to
I think it's like a
very, like metal music out in the woods and smoking and drinking.
Yeah, I think at that point, going into high school, we were listening to, I think we were, at the time, Beastie Boys, like Sabotage had come out. So we were listening to a lot of that kind of stuff.
And, it's going to be more different to, you know, like what Nirvana I was doing at that stuff. Age.
But then we'd started listening to like hip hop, like early hip hop as well at the time too. So yeah, around like 90, 93, 94 it would have been. Oh. So yeah, it's pretty good times. Yeah. But like a nice sort of time to be going to high school and stuff.
And how did you into it, P-Flex? What was, because I mean, when I was that age, when I was 13, I missed the whole thing. I never got into smoking. I never really got into underage.
Is that because you were in the cadets or at boarding school?
I mean, when you're a kid though, you're at school as well. You're doing so much. You know, you've got different groups of friends. You're doing different things. You're doing all these things that your parents want you to do. You're learning the piano or whatever. You know, you've got so many.
No, but
things
see, that's the big difference between mine and your childhood. It's like my parents didn't expect me to do anything and didn't make me do anything. So all I did was dick around with my friends in the woods and the parks.
Me and my friends wouldn't
drinking
go outside.
And smoking.
Though, you know, we would be trying to get, you know, Red Alert 2 multiplayer or StarCraft 2 multiplayer, StarCraft 1 multiplayer, working on the LAN. That's what we would do when we were 13. You know,
yeah. I mean, I did a bit of that too, but there wasn't heavy emphasis on that. That was like a, well, we're inside, we might as well do this now sort of thing. But
I'm trying to think back. I kind of did.
If we weren't grounded or anything like that. Like,
were you in a cool kind of club, a cool group of friends who sort of, it seems to be like the cooler people who ended up smoking? I don't know.
I don't know what I'm saying.
My parents both smoked. My mum quit. My dad quit ages ago. And then when I got to about, I guess I would have been about 14 or 15, I sort of, you know, people are starting to smoke and stuff like that. And there were lots of girls around and stuff. And you're starting to get into that wanting to be cool stage. I had no cool thing going for me at all. My hair was terrible. Like, even when I had hair, it was awful. Mrs. F always says, I'm glad you went bald because your hair was fucking shocking.
One thing to say. Oh, you know she's the one when she says something like that.
Yeah, when she says, you look better bald because your hair was shit. So I'm like, okay. So, like, I look back at pictures of myself there, and it's just a picture of a young man with no idea what's going on top of his head. It just can't, it's out of control. It's like a riot.
It's like Kid and Play.
Yeah.
Like,
but without that signature coolness, you know, without some of the people going to try and copy, it's just people just notice it. And it's like, that guy's got terrible hair. So,
man, imagine shaping your fro like that, though.
That'd be incredible.
You must feel so satisfied.
So you have to Google that.
Yeah, good
I'm
luck
sorry.
Googling that, kids. So then.
What? I Google it right now. Kid and Play. I bet you comes up. Like, Kid N Play. It's not and. It's
Kid
it's
and
just
Play.
The letter N. Kid and Play.
There's the picture.
And
we're
you do
images.
There
talking
they are.
About
There's that fucking
the guy with the tall hair.
Tubular fro. Yeah.
The guy everybody remembers. The other guy could put anybody in that picture, and we wouldn't know. You just go, yeah, it could be.
No,
this
he was
guy.
In who he was in a bunch of stuff.
They're movies. Like, they had movies, Kid and Play and Kid and Play 2, House Party and stuff like that, right? Or,
House Party, that was
a good
great.
Movie. There's a lot of sex so in that good. Movie. I always thought of them as being kind of for the kids,
Men,
but they weren't.
I'm looking
saucy.
I'm doing a Google image search for Kid and Play, and like just a random Steve Urkel has turned up in the. I'm not sure.
I always
I feel
think
about
of yeah,
that.
This has got the same
Urkel,
vibe,
man.
And Carlton Banks is in there as well.
Yeah,
you know.
It's that era. But so I just kind of, you know, in an effort to, I had a disparate groups of friends. I had my nerdy friends that I played games with and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I had my cooler friends who I hung around with and my totally uncool friends that I hung around with. And I was pretty easygoing.
Was smoking something that was very, very easy to pick up because your parents had smoked and therefore you'd had a lot of secondhand smoke or whatever already. And you kind of, it was automatically something nice for you.
Yeah.
Was it something you had to cough and fight to get into?
Yeah, it was hard work. I had to really get into it. Like, I remember my mum had some old menthols lying around.
Oh yeah, there's menthols. There's always you always got menthols from somebody's mom.
Yeah,
that,
and,
like,
and she had them like
misplaced
in the
or whatever.
It was like in a drawer. I found them. I was like, oh shit, she must have forgotten about these. So I like she was out at work. She used to work late a lot. So my sister was in bed, and I was like, I'm gonna fucking smoke a cigarette. So I lit it up, and I immediately got the worst head rush imaginable, because I was like, I hit this thing really hard because it's minty, you so
get,
you can do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you get that really gross minty taste like in the back of your throat, mingled
around.
In with cigarette taste as well.
So bad. But I was like, I'm gonna get good at this shit, and I gave me such a bad head rush. I was literally floored, like I could barely move. I was so dizzy. I was like, oh my god, what have I done? Because I didn't know this was pre-internet, so you can't Google anything. You're just on your own in the living room.
Just think I'm just, dying.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god, are there poison? Or something. So then I was okay, and I was like, maybe I need to persist with this and get better at it. So I kind of just started smoking. Then my mum saw me smoking around the back of the house, and she was like, he's smoking. And my sister was like super impressed. So I was like, yeah, this is cool.
My mum like got this big can that she put on the front step so that when people came over, if they smoked, like there wouldn't be butts all over the place.
Nice.
And this just can was just filled with like disgusting cigarette butts. Like my mom didn't like that we smoked, but she knew that we were just going to anyway, sort of thing. So she was just like, whatever, just get a fucking can, I guess. And
they stink though, like
dumbasses.
They stink.
They really do. Yeah.
Do you dread the day when you're gonna have to deal with the baby versions of you? And
nah,
not really.
You know? I did it
because it's a lot of it's so harmless. Like there's so much like emphasis placed on it, but like people are just gonna do whatever they're gonna do. Like it doesn't really matter.
Why would I tell them you're not allowed to do the stupid shit I did that in the end turned out to be harmless? Like, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying that I want them to do, like, anything ridiculous, but most of that stuff that seems rebellious when you're a kid is really stupid. When you look back in hindsight, it's like, geez, that was, like, nobody was impressed. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it is actually, if you're walking around smoking, to other 15-year-olds who are not smoking and haven't yet got to, because that's only, like, that's not that, I mean, you're still a kid, right? No offense to any 15-year-olds out there, but you really are. So when you're impressed, ooh, wow, oh, so-and-so smoking.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember the hard kids at school would be smoking at like 12, and I'd be thinking, fuck me, they're hard. They smoke. Like, that was such a big thing. So, I don't know. You know,
it was actually, it was such an easy in to like, to talk to people and meet new people, though, right? Like, if you bumped into somebody that you recognize from school that you'd never spoken to before, and they're smoking, you could just go up to them and be like, oh, hey, do you have an extra cigarette?
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
just start talking to
it's
them.
Sociable.
It's like such an easy in with people.
It's like drinking before you're allowed to drink, or before getting booze is easy.
I think
like,
it still is that. It still is this very social thing where you meet other smokers. And yeah, I think that's one of the things Tom told me about why he likes smoking, because you end up just stood outside somewhere. Talk to someone else.
Yeah, talking to people, yeah.
You have like, no idea about the smoking culture like that goes on at workplaces, because you get to know all the other smokers when you go outside for the smoke break, and you have like a separate little office sort of clique going on that just doesn't exist for all the non-smokers.
Oh,
and you all shit talk each other and everything. So it's like it's a fun little
Adrian
little
and
thing.
Tom and Harry have got that going.
The smokers club.
Yeah.
Do they all go really quiet when you step outside? Like you open the door to come outside and it's like just stone quiet. Like, you guys ever talk to each other while you're out here? Hey, Lewis. Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. Not always, though.
That's exactly what it's like, Sips. Yeah. So when did you quit? What was it that made you quit eventually? And how hard was it?
Having kids made me quit because I didn't want to get the secondhand smoke and stuff on the babies. And it was easy. I just stopped because I had a really strong motivator. And then it wasn't until a friend of mine came around with a vape and was like, you should try this. This is great. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. I can smoke in the house. It doesn't smell. There's no secondhand smoke. I was like, this is it. I'm hooked. And so,
I'm
that
vaping.
Was that. Yeah. So a vape dad was born.
I think I stopped when I was like 20 or 21. I think I just just got sick of it because I just felt like shit all the time.
Yeah, it is so bad. Just, like when you quit,
it really
you notice...
is. Like you get sick all the time when you smoke.
Yeah,
as well.
like colds
you've
and stuff.
Always got a cold. Like it's
and
then
it goes straight to your chest every time.
Yeah.
Oh my god,
I got
god.
Pneumonia like when I was like 18 or something. Like, and I think it was just from smoking.
Yeah, it's really really fucking bad.
It's pretty
super
brutal.
Bad
yeah.
For you. Like, that's how, like, when people say vaping is as bad as smoking, or it could be stuff, I having been a smoker for a long time, I know this is not as bad for me. I know it's not good for me, but I know it's nowhere near. I feel nowhere near as bad as I did when I was smoking.
I think it's weird, though, because if you have smoked, you always feel compelled to smoke in social situations, especially, like, where there's alcohol. So, like, if I go to a party or something and somebody's smoking, like,
I'll smoke then.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Even now, I will sometimes, but, you know, like in my day-to-day life, I don't, sort of thing. It's weird. I don't know.
That's the thing,
like,
they say.
I guess you're sort of like addicted for life.
You'll never get rid of it.
Yeah, you never leave it. It's like a bad habit.
But at the same time, I think the body is very, very good at healing you back up, but very good at replacing and
flushing you out.
There's certainly some evidence to show that if you do quit smoking early enough, it doesn't have any major impact as on your life.
I heard it takes 10 years to heal the damage done by regular smoking. It's probably
something along those lines, isn't it? It's like the amount of time it takes chewing gum to go through your body.
I don't know if they did this over here, but like, you know, when they started banning smoking in public places and restaurants and stuff in Canada, there was like this big push to sort of get people to stop smoking.
Right.
And what they started doing is on packs of cigarettes, they'd put like these health warnings, say like, you know, smoking can kill you, smoking causes cancer and stuff like that. And then they had those for a couple of years, and then they went a step further after that and they started putting pictures of like people's teeth after like they've been smoking for a long time, pictures of like their lungs after they've been smoking. Like, some of these pictures were fucking gross. Like, you know, it'd just be like this mouth of like black teeth with like blood everywhere and stuff.
Do they still do that? Because I'm sure they do.
I don't know. Like,
right?
I mean, I haven't lived there for a while now, so I have no idea.
That was definitely a thing I used to see on cigarette
when
packets.
I was there.
But I think they've stopped it because it was just gruesome. Yeah, it was just too much.
I don't know. It's like, it's a little bit too much. Yeah, but. I'm not sure like how well it worked, you know. Like, I just remember we'd be at somebody's house and there'd just be packs of cigarettes everywhere with these fucking gruesome pictures, and nobody would even like blink an eye, you know. Like, it almost just became like, it doesn't register as a picture, you know. It almost just looks like that sort of, you know, part of the artwork of the pack of cigarettes sort of thing. Mm. Like, it's really weird.
When it comes to vaping, it's got to be difficult because we don't really have a huge amount of evidence, you know, to what it looks like after 50 years. You know, we've got pretty good evidence to show what happens to you if you smoke for 50 years because people have been doing it for hundreds of years, whereas vaping's quite a new thing.
And you know what I like now too? Cigars. I never really used to like them, but like, if I have the opportunity to smoke a cigar, like, I will. I don't know why. It just like, it's just fun to smoke a cigar.
It is. I think it's just got a fun attachment to it. It's like something Bodega might do, you know?
Yeah. Bodega, you could imagine just like slamming out a big stogie, just like letting it burn right down, but just like playing with it in his teeth.
Yeah, just looking over down the end of his nose towards, you know, with his dark eyes hooded towards that spabloopian who's just come in. He's eyeing him up.
Yeah.
Looking for a fight.
Yeah, and he wants a pint of finger fuck but Bodega's like, no way. not my watch.
That was so magnificent.
Teeth with lasers.
Thank you.
I'm still reeling from that.
We'll do part dos.
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, and then we'll assemble them all. I think we should see. It's like old school sci-fi used to be serialized in these magazines and magazine stories.
Yeah, short stories. Yeah,
and then
they
put them all together into a book eventually. So if we keep...
I mean, there's enough there, Flax, where we could totally expand on it and make a game and everything. Like, it's so good.
Game, maybe a movie franchise, Netflix original series, the whole thing.
Yeah. Let's
Your
not think
kids
about
will have
that.
Like,
yeah,
Bodega bed sheets and a duvet cover, lunchbox and stuff.
Okay, let's just take it one step at a time here, guys. We just need to get into the second chapter first. And
people might hate Bodega. You never know. The whole Reddit thread might be, fuck this Bodega guy. This is the worst thing. This sci-fi is the worst I've ever read. And it's a mockery. It's a mockery of sci-fi. It's like bad TNG episodes.
Nah, I thought it was really good. Before we leave as well, we finished our second games of Hearts of Iron 4. Finally.
Ugh.
It took forever. It was fun. But we're planning another one, aren't we?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. We want some suggestions from you out there for what
I read
kind
a
of
suggestion.
Trifecta. Yeah. Okay.
I read a suggestion, and I don't know if you guys would be up for it, but it might be interesting if one of us was Comintern, one of us was Axis, and one of us was Allies. But we just started at completely different, you know, just whatever you want to do, but you have to commit to being that way aligned or whatever. And then just see where the game goes, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Could be fun as well.
We might knock each other out of the war.
Maybe.
I mean, I do like playing together, though. We'll see.
It is fun to play together. But, I mean, maybe if we play together again,
we should take countries that aren't close together, you know what I mean? So that we have to sort of like fight our own corner and then slowly link up.
Yeah, maybe.
That might be fun.
Yeah, that might be fun. Yeah.
So we finished recording that yesterday. Won't be on Team Double Dragon for a little while, actually, because we've got a lot of WoW Legion going out, and also the editors are really, really busy and we're going away and stuff. So this podcast is a bit flaky, but, you know, I think we'll be... I'm not sure I will be able to do one next week because I'm going to go to EGX, but we might be able to record it on a different morning.
Yeah.
We're very busy. So yeah, thank you for listening to this podcast and supporting it, guys. It's
Cheers.
Yeah, thanks.
Appreciate it.
It's really nice. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.